Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Welcome back to another episode of the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 70, being recorded on the 25th of March, 2015, with special guest Mark Grimes. My name is Sujit Mello, and on Skype with me I have Kale Teeter and our special guest. Evan couldn't make it tonight. He's working on a three-day support call, so must be something really big going on there. I'm sure we'll get him next week. But before we get started with introductions of our guest Mark, we'd like to bring our listeners up to date with some enhancements that have been made to the Azure platform. The very first thing we'd like to bring to our listeners' attention is this new facility known as the Azure App Services. And what this is this is a new facility just introduced a couple of days ago, actually, just yesterday, in fact. And what it does is it brings together the capabilities of Azure Websites, Azure Mobile Services, and Azure BizTalk Services into kind of a unique integrated offering. You know, and they've added a whole lot of new things that are not there today in any of these services that we just talked about. They've broken it down into a few types of services. You'll see these types manifest in the new portal if you try to create a service today, for example. There's web apps, which let you create mission-critical web apps that scale with your business. Mobile apps, you know, apps for obviously for mobile devices, all the bits and pieces required to build them, make them run in the cloud. Logic apps, these are more like automated business processes, you know, that automatically integrate with both your on-premises data as well as cloud data. And then API apps kind of allow you to both build and consume cloud APIs within any application. So this is the four kinds of apps that new kinds of apps that are out there, and you'll see them in the portal. So take a look at them. And the next up is remote app facility. As you know, in the past, in order to host a remote app, you had to kind of, it was a bit of a big deal to put all your applications up there in the cloud. Now, the way they've set it up is you could just upload an Azure VM, you know, the standard IaaS VM, and host your apps directly in that VM. And they have some templates in the portal as well, in the image gallery that already have some of this pre-configured. And then finally, there is a blog post by Lycan Lee. She's a PM in the Azure team, and what she's done is she's covered some of the common reasons for a virtual machine or a web role or a worker role to fail allocation. So if you try to allocate one of these services in the cloud and you get an allocation failure, which is very rare, I have not seen one today, to be honest with you, but if you do get it, sometimes tracking down why it has failed, it can be pretty daunting. And she's covered some nice workflows and how to troubleshoot these kind of problems. So we'll put that in the show notes as well. So now let's get to our guest, Mark. Mark, can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, thanks. This is Mark Grimes. I'm with Microsoft Consulting Services. I've been a consultant here for about 4.5 years. I live in Southeast Michigan, part of the Central Region and specifically the Heartland District. And in my time here at Microsoft, I've focused the past 4.5 years primarily on federation technologies. And so I kind of call myself an identity infrastructure specialist. But in the past year, I, like most people, have realized we're all heading into the cloud. So since I've been a trainer now for 18 years, I've been an MCT for 18 years, I decided to kind of on my own take on and start ramping up and studying all the Azure, or two of the three Azure certifications. I'm not a developer, so I'm allergic to code. I always tell people I'm gonna make t-shirts allergic to code and sell those. Back in November, I started preparing courses to deliver internally at our sessions. And coming up at the first Ignite conference, I will also be delivering those same sessions to the general public, which will be recorded also. So I walk people through, tell them categorically what's on the exam. I've researched all the links for everybody, and they'll be out there. And then we walk through and give you tips and tricks. So I'll give two sessions on the Azure Infrastructure Exam 70-533 and two sessions on the Azure Architecture Exam 70-534.
Wow. So you've been doing this for many, many years. How do you manage to balance your time between doing, you know, consulting and teaching, like a teaching role?
Well, so interesting. So I say they've been an MCT. I'm kind of on the, you know, I wouldn't say active route, but the way that I keep the teaching going, because when I came to Microsoft, you know, as most people know, it's a pretty demanding job, and I really can't go out and teach, you know, in a formal class. What I do is with the internal conferences or internal tech ready, which is like the, you know, the old tech ed, but internal to Microsoft only. I've presented at the past five or six of those. So that kind of helps fulfill my obligation as a trainer. I also did those sessions for when Windows Server 2012 came out. I was an early adopter and implementer also. So I did the trainers in my blood. I actually was a trainer, you know, nonstop day in, day out for 10 years straight.
Wow.
A couple careers before Microsoft. So I love training. It's a passion of mine. And so I hope and think that that's one thing I can do well to help people out.
Excellent. Now, so one of the topics we're hoping to talk about today are these new certifications for Azure. Azure has just kind of matured now, finally, to the point where I think Microsoft felt they should have its own certification track. And you mentioned some of them, the again, the architecture, the infrastructure, and then the developer track. But I just want to kind of step back and take you can get your take on you know, certifications in general. What is your take on the importance of general IT certifications?
Yeah, so that's I get into a lot of, I'll say, friendly debates with people on that, and, you know, particularly having come from a trainer. And it's interesting, my perspective when I was doing it day in, day out was one view versus now that I've been out in the consulting world. So, but I'll state it as it is today with the state of Azure, because the Microsoft consultants are saying, why do I need to take this? Of course, well, we're being kind of mandated to. But having gone through the process and studied and prepared, and particularly since this, I mean, to me, this is almost like where we were when Active Directory came out, right? Mm-hmm. So I used to teach NT4.0, and then all of a sudden this Active Directory thing came out. We're like, wow, this is radically different, you know, and you got to learn everything from scratch. And although some things are the same, there's quite a bit new and different in Azure. So the real value I found out, particularly when it's something newer to you, I think that in the case of the Azure certifications, it's not going to make you the world's greatest expert in it, but it's really I won't say 50,000 foot view. I'll say it's more of a 10 to 20,000 foot view, and a lot of little things. So you learn lots of different aspects about it. And I think that's the real value that, you know, as a consultant, we bring now to the customers. So I can talk about things that I didn't even know existed. You know, like something as simple as Store Simple. I never knew about that 3-4 months ago. And now I can at least talk about that. So I think from a base level knowledge, that's the value of certifications. Now, take that to the next level. If we go out 5 years from now, we've all been playing with Azure. Do we need those certifications? Maybe, maybe not. You know, maybe, you know, you're required to, but, that's the thing I learned after having left the trainer world, is like, if I go back and look at a Windows Server 2003 book now and compared to what I've done in, you know, deployments, those certifications, I see it for what it is now. It's a base level knowledge to get to that level, but is it what I actually do in the real world? Not really, but it gets you to that level. And since Azure's relatively new for most people, particularly all the aspects, I think that's the real value right now.
Okay, so what you're saying is that because it's almost like a brand new piece of technology which you never had before in any form,
yeah,
it's important that you have some high-level knowledge through these certifications.
Yeah, exactly. And I this is a weird example I give people too. I said it's almost like becoming a doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get your base medical degree and then you go off and specialize, right? So you take what you had originally. So I've done identity access management for, you know, 5-6 years now. So that is kind of my entrance into Azure. I can do Azure AD Sync. I can do SaaS application integration. I get it. I understand it. It's relatively easy to me because I've already been doing Federation. Now, once I do that, where do I go next? Okay, now I want to learn about machine learning and what the value is of that. And then after that, I'm going to learn about cloud discovery, right? So then as we move forward, then you want to start expanding and branching out. And you find out what those options are by doing the exams.
Very good point indeed. Well said. So we've got the three tracks that we talked about, architecture, dev, and infrastructure. I'd like to just start at the infrastructure one because that would appeal to, it sounds like that's geared towards IT pros of some sort. Is there a specific target audience for the infrastructure certification?
Yeah, and it's really interesting too. If you look at the, if you go to Microsoft.com/learning, just type in the exam code and you'll find them all. But when you look at the exam objectives for all three exams, they're almost identical. They're almost identical. And what I tell people, again, because, I taught this stuff for 10 years. So the difference between the developer and the infrastructure versus the architecture is really is more of the high level plan and design, and they're going to give you long scenarios. Like if anyone's ever taken the old Windows 2003 design exams, mm-hmm. You'd get these long case studies. You read through it, and then you get 10 questions. And when those 10 questions are done, the door is closed. You go on to the next case study, right? Mm-hmm. That's the architecture exam. But the infrastructure exam is really for the people who are out there pushing the buttons, running the scripts. There's a lot of scripting in their PowerShell stuff. And I'm going to help a customer to deploy that versus, what Kale's focus is, he can talk more about it, but on the developer side, it's a lot more code and configuration that way. And of course, with Azure, now with automation, there's so much you can do that we didn't have possible before.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've taken all three of them. So I've taken the 32, 33, and 34, and it's interesting to see. I totally agree. The 32 and 33 were the same subject area, but just approached from different angles. So from a developer hat, it was like a lot of C# code, code blocks of how do you fill this in kind of thing. And then when I hit the 533, it was PowerShell. So it was like, okay, so the C# stuff's not here now. Now we're talking about PowerShell and those types of things, but still covering generally the same topic area. And then 34 was different. It was more pulled back, like you said. But I wouldn't say they're easier though. From my take, because there's so much breadth that you really need to have your arms around for like the 534 that, it's challenging, definitely.
Well, the thing that surprised me on the 534 architecture exam, and they didn't used to do this in design ones. In the design ones in the past, you had 4 case studies done. On this one, you have 4 case studies, but somewhere in the middle, you'll have like 20 just erroneous questions.
Yeah.
And some of those are deep. It may be something like a subnetting type question, And, it really kind of surprised me. But I guess that's just kind of it's like a little quick acid test. Do you know the basics before we go back into, the scenarios overview?
And I'd like to point out that, Kale, you've got a session out on the Microsoft Virtual Academy, right, for the architecture session, architecture track, specifically security and management, correct?
Well, actually, yeah. We recorded that back in December, I believe it was, and I hosted one with a coworker. We did the module 2. So if you go to where Mark was saying, if you go up to the site for certification, look for the 534, and then there's a skills tested, I believe it's called, or skills required. It's like a little outline there that shows you what's covered on the exam. There's 6 different areas, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And, we did 2 and 6, me and another counterpart, but we had other guys there doing everything. So basically everything's covered there on that one as well.
And that was nicely done. I've watched that at least 3 times already. So well done there. Definitely recommend our listeners take a look at that if they're planning that test. Now, you're also preparing for doing the developer track, right, Hale?
You're gonna yeah, same. So I'll be there with Mark at Ignite doing the 532.
Okay.
So see people there for that one.
Excellent. Now, the developer track, is that are the developers expected to know the APIs and the signatures and whatnot? Like, what's the depth here that they should be preparing for?
Yeah, definitely. I think it stretches people a little bit. From the developers I've spoke to who've attempted and taken the exam, the feedback I got was, why is there things about PowerShell DSC in there? That's not a developer thing, you know, but it's like, well, it is kind of. I mean, you need to understand some of those components to Azure. Mm-hmm. And so when you see things like that, definitely I recommend people go through that outline that I'm talking about up there. And really, the advice I give people is, and Mark can comment on this too, is get your hands on it. It's not just about, you know, going and reading tons of stuff. That's important. You need to understand the theory, but you really need to get your hands on it, because then you'll have the experience to be able to answer those questions, because, you know, the quirks come up and how does this work and those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit a really good important point there too, about just something as simple as DSC, because I can't tell you how many people, just even in the server world, I mentioned that and they're like, what is DSC? I'm like, this is one of the greatest things that came out in PowerShell. And think about DSC is, It's now at the place where PowerShell was when it first came out. So imagine where DSC is going to take us in the future with Azure.
Yeah.
And this is the desired state configuration you're talking about, correct?
If you go to Channel 9 and just search for that, Jeffrey Snover, who invented it at TechEd Europe in 2014, incredible session and, you know, just fabulous to learn everything you want to know about that. Just as a side note.
Okay, very good.
But yeah, Sajid, also definitely writing code too. I mean, there's a lot of code questions on there, API, code samples. So definitely got to have your hands on actually doing some real development with it.
Yeah, so that's stuff you've got to actually get familiar with before you have to write some code before you take each of those areas. So it sounds like the prep, you know, I'm hearing from you guys that this is serious prep time for these exams, right? This doesn't sound like it's a slam dunk, because, you know, I guess, you know, Mark, the reason I asked you the question originally about the overall value for certifications is I myself have never taken a single certification ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a matter of fact, this certification I'll be taking is the first one I've ever taken. And part of the reason was, you know, because I just didn't think that certifications, this is back, you know, in the original C++ days and the MFC days and, you know, back in the 90s when I would have taken some sort of certification, Microsoft certification, it was very theoretical, you know, bookish kind of thing.
Right.
You know, anybody who could kind of cram the book could pass it. It was that kind of thing. And yeah, I could have done it, but then what's the value, right? All I memorized was the book. You know, you used to get these books, remember?
Yep.
Prepare for the exam, there's red books or blue books or whatever. And people would just cram it and go, and they would pass the test, and they're certified apparently. And I didn't think that was really, really worth it at the time. These exams, I've done a couple of the practice exams for the architecture track. I think these are a little well-founded in the sense that they're more practical in nature. The questions are more real-life, realistic. And it does require you to have some sort of real practical experience with these technologies, as opposed to just a book, you know, reading a book.
Yeah, and there's an absolute reason for that too. One is the evolution in exams that I've seen in the past 18 years. And like you said, it used to be a bunch of factual book stuff that who cares? You know, it's not what you're doing day in, day out. Moving more toward real world scenarios. And I know for a fact that in these Azure exams, they actually had Microsoft consultants, Microsoft architects contribute to that, those types of questions. So it wasn't just someone, you know, in a pie in the sky Crystal Palace that does certification exams. So it was a lot of hands-on people that came up to this. Another thing I wanted to add real quick too, we talked about the level of effort. And I have an internal blog or Yammer group that this question comes up a lot. How much effort does it take? So I've seen three extremes, actually. So I've seen people who have literally walked in, never studied at all, and they ace it. Well, these are the guys, of course, deploying this, and they've been deploying it since way back when, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other people that go, Mark, I'm doing everything out there, and I'm just failing miserably, right? So here's my guidelines, and this is from, 18 years being a trainer. If you are I'm a greenfield, I'm maybe even new to IT, I've never seen this, done this before, I haven't even, logged into an Azure portal, don't even know what Azure is, and I want to start from scratch, you're looking at 80 hours plus hard studying, going through all the links, getting hands on, 80 hours minimum. I mean, that's just day in, and you got to work that around your work schedule, of course, too.
Right.
If you're someone like me, I consider myself kind of in the middle ground. So I know Federation, I know, Azure, integration, I know a little bit about SaaS apps, I've done some internal classes, but I haven't really, in the past 4 years been deploying Azure like some people have. So I'm in that kind of middle ground. So that's probably, 35 to 45 hour range, hands on, cranking on the books and studying on the Azure documentation, which by the way is stellar. Right. The Azure docs are fabulous. And then you go to the other extreme, which is, the people who are deploying it day in, day out. They've been there, done that. They just may need really, 5-10 hours to fresh up on, a link that they would see on the Microsoft Learning that just looks totally foreign to them.
Okay, that's an excellent guideline. Really good. First time hearing some hard numbers like that. And I think that's going to be very useful for people to prepare. The test itself is about, 2 or 3 hours? I forget, was it 3 hour tests?
The architecture one was pretty long. Yeah.
Only thing, the other ones are shorter. The dev.
I think the infrastructure, they say 150, but that includes your surveys and everything. So really, the way I'd figured out in my head, I was thinking it through. It's like I got 2 minutes per question.
Mm.
That's your guideline. So that's another tip and trick I tell people, and I've always said, it's kind of like when you're get ready for your college exams or whatever. You go through it. If you know what answer, if you don't, you narrow it down, but you mark it and come back to it. It's all about time management, those things, right?
Right.
So you want to get the ones you know, move on, then come back, and then sometimes you'll see stuff that will trigger a thought, and sometimes they actually slip, and they may give you a little hint in further questions. Although you got to watch out, though, because in architecture, as I said, once you close that case study, you cannot go back.
Correct. Yeah, there were times when you had to finish up one section before you went to the next section.
Yeah, and the infrastructure, you can go back all the way. Is that same on the dev, Kale?
Yep. Actually, the dev one, and I don't know, I took this pretty early on, so I don't know if it's changed, but because I know there's multiple versions of these tests and all that kind of thing, but there was a case study on mine. I think it was the first thing I hit when I fired up 532 was a case study, and I was like,
Wow.
What's this? A case study. But there was definitely a lot more on the 534 case studies, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, great. And in terms of study plans and all that, is there enough material up on the certification website, some study guides and things like that?
There is. The problem is right now that there's not there's not full-blown courses. I think, Kale, there's an official course, right, for the dev class, I believe.
Yeah, and isn't there some MS Press material? And I think that came out in March, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the green books.
Yeah. So here's what I tell people. Internally we have stuff, and more will come out. But your best sources – so for the infrastructure exam, there was actually a series on Channel 9. It was called Azure for IaaS IT Pros. And that all has all been moved over to Microsoft Virtual Academy. And that was designed to help people with the infrastructure exam. So there's 16 sessions, 16 one-hour sessions. Wow. So it's a lot of – it's all done by the product group at Microsoft or, people like Mark Rusinovich. Absolutely fabulous stuff. So if you go through that, and then also if you just go on Microsoft Virtual Academy and just type in the exam number, it will pull up, 70-532, 534, and 533 stuff.
Right.
There's even Azure Fundamentals. So really, Microsoft Virtual Academy is about your best place And other than that, what I tell people is you go to the Microsoft Learning site, you get the exam objectives, and then you hit the Azure documentation and you map those things to the objectives.
Got it. Now, once people have this kind of certification, where does it leave them? I mean, this is more like a starting point for them, and then they need to get into specific details, right? Or specific specialized areas, I suppose.
Right.
Where does this leave people, though? I mean, what's the incentive for people to do this exam? Let me put it that way.
So I think it's fairly obvious, and if it's not, I think it should be, or you need to realize this, that the world's going to go this way. And I used to have an account executive. I used to be an account executive, and the bottom line is the bottom line. And who's going to be driving this initiative? It's not necessarily the IT people. It's going to be the CFOs who go, wow, this is great stuff. We don't have to buy equipment. We don't have to have hardware. We don't have to have a big fancy rooms and people to manage it. We can just plug in, pay $10 per person, you know, and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, it's a great business decision. And then, of course, there's many other benefits too. You know, high availability, fault tolerance, redundancy, geo replication, all that sort of stuff. So, I think, and a lot of people are scared of that. They're like, oh, my job's going to go away. Well, no, it's not, because there's a lot more you can do now once you have those infrastructures. Now you're freed up and you're not spending all your time wasting building infrastructures. I could do ADFS and it would take 3 months to deploy it for a large deployment. Now I'll be able to fire this up literally in hours. You know, it's so quick. So once you start learning these skills, what you have to do, and we're working through this internally at Microsoft Consultants, you know, like I mentioned, you got to look at what you're good at and where will that, what's that doorway that I can lead into Azure? So I'm a Federation guy. Well, that works good for, you know, Azure SaaS app integration, right? Whatever works. And then once you do that, then you have to start expanding out. And that is going to be what's going to me, the kind of the golden ticket is you start expanding out, reaching out and finding out the added value. And again, the exams will help you to see some of those options.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. I think in just thinking about from a consultant standpoint, or even somebody who's an employee, who maybe was like an infrastructure guy in the past and now this cloud thing came along. It's one of these things where I think these exams are really good, and you hit it right on the head at start there. You know, it gives you exposure to all the areas of Azure, right? So you're like, no, I'm just an infrastructure guy, but it'll start pulling you in other directions to show you that there are other options out there, other services out there. And that's important definitely as a consultant, because when you go talk to a customer, they don't just ask you like exactly what they need. They're not going to say, I just want a VM, just stand it up, that's all I want. No, they're going to say, I want this advanced network config that has redundancy and high availability and all this thing. And you need to, maybe you're not an expert in every one of those areas, and it would be super hard to be that, but at least you know what services are available. Like, okay, well, these are the big pieces, the big blocks that we're probably going to be using here. And then you can start forming an architecture or a design around that. I think that's huge.
Yeah, and personally, you know, I think of something that I've just kind of dabbled in, not being a developer. You know, I've had to pick up PowerShell and I try to get better at it. But boy, when I've seen what you can do with PowerShell and Azure and Runbooks, you know, wow, I've got an Azure subscription and I don't want to burn up my time. There's an Azure Runbook to shut down and quietly kiss all my servers, right? So I'm not billing all the time. You know, again, it's the automation that's going to simplify your world and your customer's world.
Very good point, guys. Both of you made some excellent cases there for why our listeners should seriously consider doing these certifications, studying for them and doing them. The street track, so there's something for everyone. And hopefully, this will pick up steam and there'll be some good courses, just like they used to have for all the other certifications before the Microsoft certifications that in the past technologies. So I'm sure we'll look forward to all of that. Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on our podcast and very fortunate to have you here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And Kale, as always, great to have you on, and you're an integral part of the certification process here, so it's good to have your thoughts as well. All right, guys. Thanks again, and have a good evening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Take it.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle, @AzurePodcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.